trying to get the Galatian readers to consider regarding the different church, the teachings that were coming in, to make them think about the real truth. One of the things that I kind of touched on very, very briefly last week, and I need to go back because it's one of those things that I just can't leave alone. You know, it's like having a loose tooth or something. You can't keep from playing with it. You find your tongue. There's certain things that when I hit them, I always have to go back and kind of worry them over. I don't pick the hymns, okay? Bruce picks the hymns. And he does it in a lump for several months in advance. And I don't even generally look at them before Sunday morning when I look at the bulletin. The one that we just sang, the song that we just sang about the Holy Spirit, is very appropriate, because when Paul is writing here, he asks them this fundamental question. He says, I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit? And he brings that question of the Holy Spirit to the front. And I think that's a real interesting sort of topic. And that's where we're going today. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to do a little bit of a swift overview here, because frankly, this is not a topic that we can dispose of quickly, and it's not really the point at this point in the letter, but like I say, it's something that I've got to talk about. So, when Christ had come and been crucified and ascended and all of these things had gone on, and the disciples were then kind of a lost band wandering around and trying to sort of huddle together in the hidden corners of Jerusalem because they didn't know what they ought to do, and they were afraid and they were worried. God sent to them the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Acts chapter 2. And don't get too far from Acts, because we're going to be in Acts a whole bunch here this morning. But Acts chapter 2 starts, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is one of those defining moments in Christianity. And depending on who you ask, there's a lot of things that go on in that. But for the disciples, they were given a special power. They were given an ability. And they were also in this, they were being given a confirmation. And I think this is the thing that we really want to focus on here, is that the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples not to enable them to speak in other tongues, other languages. It wasn't given to give them miraculous powers, although they had those and were able to exercise those at times. But it was given to them to confirm that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah. That in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, that the promised Messiah had come, and that they were to go out and teach and preach this gospel, and that it was real, and that they were different people now. They were completely changed in this experience. And they had a firm, real sign that they could grab onto. And that's something that goes back in prophecy. This isn't where this wasn't something that was brand new. This was something that they would understand coming out of what the prophets had said regarding the coming of the Spirit. Because in Joel, the prophet Joel says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Joel 2:28. And what the prophet is saying there, as he's going through and he's talking about the things that were going to happen to Israel and the disasters that were coming and the challenges they were going to face. And then here in the middle of all of those things that were going to go wrong, all of the challenges that they would face, is, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit. I'm going to give you a special measure of who I am to enable you to get through that." And so when the disciples see the Holy Spirit come and they experience this thing at Pentecost, they are going to recognize immediately this is God doing something incredible, that there is prophecy being fulfilled in a big way here. And it confirms to them the reality of the gospel. Now Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he gave the commission to the disciples, he told them that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He tells them that if you, when they were to go out in at the end of Mark, we have the commission given here, and he tells them, "He who believes and baptized will be saved," Mark 16:16. "But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." It says this is the way that the Holy Spirit is going to manifest in them as they go out and as our disciples. They're going to have these incredible, miraculous powers. And again, it wasn't about the power that they might get. It wasn't about the miracles. It was about the sign to show that this really was God at work. If you remember, we talked a few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus sending out his disciples and sending out the 70 to go and preach in these different towns. And among the things that they did is they healed the sick. You know, they had miraculous powers there that were to give proof that the message they were bringing was real. And so God is using the Holy Spirit coming on these people as a proof, a reality of their salvation. That it's something that they can show that says, yes, what I am telling you about Christ is in fact true. And the proof is in what they are able to do and how they have been changed there and so have become something different. And again, continuing in Acts, like I said, we're going to do a whole bunch of little things here in Acts. Because in Acts chapter 10, we have in 10:44, while Peter was still speaking, and he's talking here to the Gentiles, to Cornelius and the Gentiles here. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The most important phrase in that passage is, "for they heard them," because it explains the entire point behind that gift that was given. It says, if God sends His Holy Spirit on someone, how can we tell? Do they suddenly look different? If somebody comes to Christ, becomes a believer, and the Spirit indwells them, they don't suddenly turn purple or something. There's not an obvious external change. It was desperately important that Peter and the Jews understood, and this was where this ties into Galatians so strongly, that they had to understand that salvation for the Gentiles came through Jesus Christ through faith and not through being a Jew and keeping the law. They had to understand that, that God was not saving people through the law, but through Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross. And in order for Peter and the other disciples to understand it, they had to see that these people were really completely saved. The thing that God had shown the disciples happened at Pentecost. The Spirit came on them. They were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke in other languages, other tongues. They had this gift, this thing that showed up. Now all of a sudden, Peter preaches to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles say, "We believe," and immediately the Spirit comes on them, and they show exactly the same signs that Peter and the other apostles had experienced when the Spirit came on them. And suddenly Peter and these guys are saying, "This is real. God is really saving these Gentiles the same way that he saved us." Now, Peter had his problems with remembering that, but that's a story that we talked about a few weeks ago also. But again, Peter tells this story again in chapter 11. And what he says here in chapter 11 in verses 15 and 16, he says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning." So he ties it back to that. "Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And so Peter sees that, yes, this is the baptism with the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about. These people are receiving the Holy Spirit. They are truly, really, honestly saved. He says, "Therefore, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" This is his opinion, and I honestly think that Peter had a long, hard struggle getting over the idea that salvation came through the law. He struggled with that. But he says, "Who am I to withstand God?" God demonstrated that they were saved. And it was that coming of the Spirit, it was the transforming power that was made evident through those gifts, through those actions. And so it had that purpose of showing the reality of salvation, that the Gentiles were, just as the disciples were, saved through the power of the blood of Christ and through faith, not through keeping the law. And he makes the same point again in Acts chapter 15. This is the Jerusalem Council. This is when the whole subject of whether you needed to be a Jew in order to be a Christian was being debated by the leaders of the church. And so in Acts 15:6, "Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, 'Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. God, who knows the heart, gave them." It says, this evidence that we saw, that this miracle in terms of what was going on with them, what they were doing, that was the Holy Spirit working in them, he says, this was evidence that God saw their heart, that they really truly believed, that their faith was real, and that in the reality of that faith, they were saved and the Spirit came on them, that they were the same as the Jewish believers. He makes that point over and over again, that this was God doing the work, saving the people through faith and making it plain to them by the sign. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit, this coming of the Holy Spirit on them, the speaking in tongues, the healing, the different things that were talked about, these different miraculous things that were described, were being given to make the point that this was real, to demonstrate that this was God at work, and not just something that was the opinion or the decision of the people who were there, and that it wasn't something that was faked. I mean, this wasn't Gentiles just saying, oh yeah, you know, I agree with you on that. That sounds really good. And giving lip service, but not actually meaning anything. God, who sees the heart, gave them that gift of the Spirit. God didn't give that to somebody who didn't truly believe. And so the fact that they could truly believe and that they were accepted by God are both demonstrated in that. And so he asked the Gentiles, I'm back in Galatians 3. Yeah, we're moving around pretty fast here. My wife gives me the look as she wants to know, where are you at? Galatians 3:2, he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And he is appealing to their experience. What did they experience in their coming to Christ? What did they go through? How did they receive Christ? What was the thing that caused that belief to happen, that experience to happen for them? It says, it wasn't because you were keeping the law. It was because of faith. But he appeals to experience. And I think it's nice, you know, having the Gideon testimonies in your message there. We hear this. These are the evidences. This is personal experience. When somebody says, this is what God did for me, this is what I experienced in Jesus Christ, that's not something that you can argue with. You can't say, oh, no, you didn't experience that. You didn't have that happen. The experience that I had with Jesus Christ when I came to faith in Christ and became a believer is one that I can state that, and you can't argue with it. You can't say it's wrong. You can't say it's untrue. You can't say anything about it other than, well, I don't care. You can ignore it, but you can't deny it. And so the testimony, that power of the testimony of the believer to say, this is the experience that I had. This tells me of the reality of my salvation, that I am not the person that I was before. I am not the same. Now see, God used these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these powerful coming of the Holy Spirit, a number of times in the early church. And he uses it, as I've mentioned before, that he uses things to make a point. When he first introduces something, he makes the point very strongly. And you see this, you know, a good example is Ananias and Sapphira, who bring their gift and lie about it to the church before God and say, oh yeah, and God zaps them. Well, I can guarantee you that thousands and thousands of people across history have committed exactly the same sin, and God hasn't fried them in front of the whole church. But God made the point. We have to learn from it that one time. He says, this is the way it is. Learn from it. Look at it. Learn from it. We can ignore it. The punishment comes later. He'll sort that out later. We will all stand before judgment. He'll sort those things out. And so he uses the Holy Spirit. He uses those gifts of the Spirit. He uses those miraculous things in the early church to make these points about the Gentiles, about real salvation, about the spreading of the gospel, to say, yes, this is real. He's proving to the people the reality. And by doing that early, he gets the church becomes solid. They understand these things. They don't need to see later down the road. They don't need to see the miraculous proof that somebody is a believer, because they know that the salvation is not found in the proof. It's not found in the miracles. Salvation is not found in the ability to heal people or to handle snakes or drink poison or any of those things. The salvation is found in faith in Jesus Christ. And in faith in Jesus Christ, then they have their hope. They don't need the trappings around it. They know that it's true because they've seen the sign. They've heard about the sign in the past. And so he tells asks the Galatians, really, what was your experience? Go back to your own personal testimony. Right now, they are looking at the divide in these churches. They're looking at these people coming in and saying, well, you've got to go back to the law. You've got to follow the law if you're going to follow Christ. He says, was that how you were saved? What's your experience? Look at your own testimony, because there was nobody who came to salvation and received the Holy Spirit by keeping the law. There was nobody who could say, yeah, before I knew Jesus Christ, before I put faith in Jesus Christ, I received this. Because nobody received it until Jesus Christ. And it was by faith that they received it. So your experience, he says, your experience tells you that it has to be by faith in Jesus Christ and not by following the law. And we go to that testimony, that personal testimony, as a way of confirming that truth. Now, don't use personal testimony to override the Scripture. There's people who like to do that. But it is a confirmation of the truth that God says, I will do this. And we experience that. We experience answered prayer. We experience transformed hearts and lives. We experience, and we'll get to this as we get further along in Galatians, we experience growth in spiritual attributes that God wants in His people. And those things are testimony of the Holy Spirit in us. If we move it at the kind of rate of progress that I normally do, most of us, or some of us, may still be alive when I get to Corinthians, and we'll really talk about the Holy Spirit and these things when we go through Corinthians. If you don't live that long, you'll know before we get to it. But remember, we have, in our changed, transformed lives through the Holy Spirit, we have that proof. And we have the testimony that is something that we can tell someone that says, yes, God did this in me. Therefore, I know it to be true. And our experience, our testimony, is of the fact that faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in the blood of Jesus for our salvation, is our only hope, our only means of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask this morning that as we consider how you used the Spirit, you sent your Spirit to these people and you gave them gifts, you gave them as a sign, and they were convinced through this that you were at work. And we thank you, Lord, that you did that. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to put your Spirit in us, that you dwell in us and you give us a changed heart and you help us to change our lives, to be transformed into somebody new. And we thank you that you give us that testimony. And above all, Lord, we thank you that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, it's His love, His sacrifice that gives us salvation, that gives us hope. And we pray, Lord, that you would just be with each one of us, that every single person here would be able to say that, yes, I have put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. We just pray, Lord, that that would be the prayer for all of us, everybody here, that we would all be part of your family. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.